Okay. So last week we dealt with the position of Tosfos, and we noted that while the way Tosfos understands the phrase Trei Avrei Nahara or Trei Avrei Dinahara, you see it both ways. Please put away the phones. Is that you only violate Lifnei Yidifer D'oraisa if it's impossible. It's impossible for the Chote to violate the sin without you. Despite that, we saw the Tosfos in Shabbos, in the Rush and the Ritva, all assume that it's still Aser Midirabanan. And then we saw different formulations, right? So we saw basically three different formulations. Tosfos, at least in Shabbos, just sounds like it is. And this is explicit in Tosfos Ben Elchanan that Misayeya is basically the same as Lefneiver, just at a lower level, Derabanan. At the other extreme, we saw the Rush. The Rush said, if you remember, that the reason that you can't, the reason that Midarabanan, you can't help someone violate an Isser, even if you're not enabling them, is what?
Lefneiver.
No, not Lefneiver. If it's not Lefneiver, why is it Aser? What?
We said about
Toilu. It's not a Toilada. What is it? He's very explicit. It wasn't, right? It's not a subset of Lefneiver. It is.
It's on.
Wait, if it's not a subset, then it's a whole section on its own.
What is this? If it's not Lefneiver, if it's not Lefneiver, not Lefneiver minus, so why is it Aser to cause someone, not enable them, I mean, not make it possible, but to cause someone to sin, even if you're not enabling them?
Because it violates the fourth law. We divided the thing in four rules.
If it's not Lifnei Iver in any way, shape, or form, then why is it Aser?
Exactly.
Not level 1, 2, 3, or 4, and not Derabanan.
For what case?
No.
What are you doing exactly? If you're not,
right, remember, Tosfos said, right, if I cause someone to sin, but not in a way that he couldn't have done without me, so Tosfos says, in Shabbat, it's still Aser Derabanan. Right, so why? Right, so one way of understanding it is it's just Lifnei at a Derabanan level. That's how Tosfos Rabbeinu Elchanan explains it. Right, the Rush says no. The problem is you have it in front of you. Because you have a chiyuv lahafrisho.
Right.
It's not lifnei iver. The problem is that there's a positive commandment to separate someone from something negative, meaning to get them to do something positive. And the Ritva seem to have both formulations.
In other words, you mean like there's a positive commandment and a negative commandment.
Right, exactly. It's not the negative of lifnei iver. There's a positive of tochacha, of arvos,
you know,
etc.
That's still shulav exists. There's a lot of similar to my kutin. In that area also.
The Gemara in Avodah Zarah is similar to what?
To my kutin.
What do you mean?
Certain areas, so they also talk about the positive commandments. And
you have that all the time. You have that, but it's a totally different mitzvah. We said, what's the nafkamina? So what's the nafkamina? Right? What's the difference? So Ritva tells you, what's the difference? And the Chassam Sofer makes this very clear. What's the difference?
Passive.
But what's the halachic difference? Who cares whether it's lifnei iver or whether it's a mitzvah of tochacha? Right? What difference does it make?
One year being over a
low sasse. So what? So it's still Aser. So what difference does it make? What halachic difference, right? If you say, if you agree that it's Aser Midrabanan, right? That even in a case when you're not enabling someone to violate an Isser, it's still Aser Midrabanan. Who cares whether you formulate it as it's Lifnei Iver minus on the Derabanan level, or it's a positive mitzvah of Tochacha or Arvos, right? You're supposed to rebuke them, you're supposed to help them positively. No, it's Derabanan. There's no punishment in it either way. Right, it's Derabanan. Right, you're right. If it's Araisa, the difference between Golosase and Ase could be Malkus.
Right.
It could be punishment. But it's Derabanan. Right? Everyone agrees that it's not Daraisa. What's the difference? Right, the difference is, potential differences are, what if it's a non-Jew? Right? What if it's a non-Jew? What if the person that you're enabling, that you're causing to sin without making it possible, but you are, you know, assisting in this process is not Jewish? So a Jew, you're chayev to be mafresh meister. You're chayev to give tochacha. There's it's kol yisrael arevim zebazeh or zelazeh, right? Depending on which gersa you have, which is not true of a non-Jew, and therefore the derabanan levels, right, might not be applicable if you're talking about a positive mitzvah of arvus. If it's lifnei iver minus, so maybe. Maybe it would. Right? And I didn't read this inside, but the Be'er HaGra, when the Be'er HaGra, as do many Achronim, are trying to figure out, right, assuming that all Tosafim hold the same thing, so why is it that the Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Tosafos there imply that if something is not usher because of Lifnei Iver Da'araisa, please put down the phone. It's not usher at all. And the Gemara in Shabbos, Tosafos in Shabbos assumes that it's least usher midrabbanan, right? So the Gra says maybe it's only by Jews that there's an Isser Darabanan. Right? Since the Gemara of Avodah Zarah is also talking about non-Jews, the case of
giving,
and the example that the Gemara gives, right? That's the context of the whole sugya, and then the specific example is Eiver Menachai to a guy. So that's why you can't do it. Now the Shach extends this. Now I won't make you read this now, but the Shach extends this, and the Shach says it's even more than that. He thinks that not only is this true of non-Jews, it's true of a mumar. Meaning, if you have a Jew who is rebellious and sins on purpose, right, consistently, is a mumar for a sin, then you aren't allowed to violate lifnei iver, but you are allowed to violate the derabanan levels. Meaning, you have no obligation to, you are allowed to even assist him in sinning, if he's a mumar, because you have no responsibility because he's yatsa miklal achicha. So a mumar is a bit hard to define, but let's just say someone who is consistently a sinner, right? Now,
who's in cherem, basically?
Not necessarily, right? Someone who, right? I mean, extremes could be mechal shabbos, but farhesia, someone who's obed avodah zarah.
Extremes,
right? Like there are extreme mumar levels, kochavim and the like.
Cheeseburgers all the time, so you can get the cheeseburgers from across the river.
No, not from across the river. That would be lifnei iver. You can't violate lifnei iver. But the derabbanans, the shach claims, you don't have a chiyuv lafrisho.
You have to stop them.
Correct. Now, again, this is very, very serious. There are serious nafkamin, as I said, right? The share I gave on this in Toronto was what happens if you... Not a lot of people disagree with this. Dag Omer Vava doesn't like this. Right? Dag Omer Vava says, what do you mean? Afal pishah chad Yisrael, who is still a Jew.
Yeah,
right?
That's clumping him into...
Well, for many purposes, he is, right? In general, there are many reasons. Right? A Jew who violates certain major sins, right, for certain purposes, becomes like a non-Jew. But you do not have obligations towards him.
He's accepted into the fold. So
no, only if he does tshuva. Right? While he's still sinning, for a lot of purposes, he's not. Right? Again, not getting to the question of how this applies nowadays, but fundamentally, someone who's in the category of mumar, right, loses a lot of his rights as a Jew. Right? He is a Jew, meaning in terms of Kiddushin. Max, come on. Okay. Fine. Now, this has a lot of ramifications, and as I said, the share I gave in Toronto was, can a lawyer who's asked to work for a client who knows is involved in shady business deals, can he be involved? Right? He's not actually enabling him to do shady business deals, but he is supporting him. Right?
Well, didn't we say that?
That's not lifnei iver, right? But it might be misayeh.
Right,
but it might be misayeh, yeah, right? And then it might depend, right? If it's a non-Jew, so maybe it's mutter. If it's a Jew, maybe it's usher. But according to the Shach, maybe it's mutter. But if it's a mumar, okay? We can come back to the specifics.
A non-Jew could be considered a mumar also.
No. But a non-Jew, we don't have the same responsibilities to at all, right? This is what Max and I disagreed with last week. No, a convert is a full Jew.
A convert in between the process. Like...
Convert before finishing conversion is a goy, and once they finished it is a Jew. Right? There is a bit of a halachic discussion of what happens if they had mila but they didn't have tvila. Right? What status do they have? A gersha malva lo tavel. There is an interesting halachic discussion, but in general, right, someone who's involved in the gerus process is a goy.
But you can...
Totally.
So it's not lifnei iver.
Correct.
Rabbi, by non-Jew.
I mean, no, it would be lifnei iver, wouldn't it be Mosaic?
Non-Jew means someone.
Why? Someone who's not yet converted is a non-Jew.
But I'm saying the middle, like they're basically...
No, they're not basically. It's they're Jewish or they're not Jewish. Unless they've actually had Mila and not Tvila, right? In which case there's a bit of a discussion what his status is.
Fine.
Right?
That he has Mila and not Tvila.
Yeah, that happens for about 3 minutes usually. Right, or right, whatever, so, or a day, I don't know.
Okay,
it's not much.
Day, fine, but that's still like.
So that's an interesting question, but in general, someone who's in the process of Geirus is
a hypothetical, I guess. Though.
Yeah, I mean, Moshe, anyways. Okay. But.
Really, by non Jew, somebody who's not following the shadow
of the Tzvon HaNoach? No, I mean a non Jew. A non Jew, stop. Okay. Chevra, listen. So, In general, in Halach, and I gave this to you in the Yad Malachi, most posts can assume that Tosfos is right. That's it. Trei Avrei Nara, if it's not enabling, it is mutter on a Daraisa level. Then Derabanan, right? All these Messiah questions. Problem is, you've read the Rambam, right? You've read the Rambam. What does the Rambam say, and what is glaringly missing from the Rambam?
Well, the Rambam said that you can't sell anything that could damage that.
So I gave you three Rambams, right? So Gzela, which ones did you do?
We did the first four.
Coming from the right or from the left?
Left.
Okay, so you did Avodah Zarah Teshches?
Yeah.
Okay. So Avodah Zarah Teshches, what does the Rambam say?
You can't sell anything that causes damage or sharpens their weapons. Or weapons of war.
Did that Avodah Zarah Teshches? That's not the other one I gave you?
Yeah.
Second?
I don't understand that.
Yeah, you can't sell
one second. Here, let me just open it.
You can't sell a teddy bear to an Andrew.
What?
That's what we translated. That's what don't this translated.
Dubim is a bear, not a teddy bear. I mean, in modern Hebrew, yes.
It's
translated
yes.
here.
Fine. Okay, yes, a dubi. Okay, right. So the Rambam, quoting the Gemara a little bit later on, says you can't sell weapons, right? You can't sell weapons to a non-Jew,
right?
Right, nor to a Jew who you think might use them in an usher way. Okay,
so Jewish criminals.
Jewish criminals. I know. It's impossible to believe this sort of thing happened, Shimon. I understand. I told you. Later on, you can Google Mayor Lansky.
So they're so good to their mothers.
I believe nowadays.
In other words, you mean,
honestly, have you really like you've never heard of Mayor Lansky? Like it just never.
Mayor Lansky.
What, he was Bugsy Siegel.
Yeah, Bugsy Siegel. Yeah, all these people.
The Ponzi scheme.
Yeah, Mayor Lansky, known as the mob's accountant, was an American major organized crime figure who, along with his associates Charles Lucky Luciano, was instrumental in the development of the national crime syndicate in the United States.
Oh wow.
Who's the guy?
Meyer Lansky, maybe.
Who's the guy that stole
millions? That's going to be the basis for that.
Net worth in 1967 was $300 million.
Wow.
1967, that's a ton of money.
Yes. Even now, it's a lot of money.
That's like $1 billion.
Who's the guy that stole millions from
Wyatt? Bernie Madoff.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So the Rambam in Avodas Kochavim. Okay, guys. The Rambam in Avodas Kochavim tells you can't sell weapons to non-Jews or Jews who might be involved in sinning. What about the Rambam in Rotzeach? What about the Rambam in Hilchos Rotzeach? What does the Rambam in Hilchos Rotzeach say?
Can't sell weapons and armor.
They're also, right, selling weapons, armor. Gzela, hey, Aleph, did you get to it? You didn't get to it, right? You said, okay, no. So the Rambam and Gzela, hey, Aleph.
You're
going to
be living in Israel for a short period of time.
A lot of people did. He says, Asr Liknos Davar, but you can't steal something, you can't buy something, rather, something stolen from someone who stole, right? And you can't help him so that he'll buy it. Because if you do this, you buy it lefnei iver. But if you buy something, right? I remember on who did I see at the Kotel? I saw you at the Kotel, right? So when I got to the Kotel, I don't know if this was us or not. We had a big machlokes about this in YU, right? Ariel and Mati noticed that I was wearing a what's it called? My polo shirt was what's it called? No, the alligator. What is it? Lacoste. Thank you. Right, and he's like, and they're like, "What are you doing wearing like super expensive polo shirts?" The answer is they're not super expensive because I bought them on a street corner in Washington Heights when I was in YU for $12. Right, they're authentic. They're worth at least $80 at retail, but I bought them for nothing. Right, now I remember in YU this big machlokas. Are you allowed to buy it? Because $12 Lacoste shirts that are on the street corner in Washington Heights
kind of sounds gone.
May have gotten come from somewhere in a less than legitimate way. And the question was, are you allowed to buy it? Now, if it was a Jew selling it, right, the halacha would be usher, vaday usher. Right, if a Jew you were suspecting stole it, right, be vaday usher. The non-Jew is not totally clear, right? According to Tosfos, right? The Jew told me it wasn't stolen, but I'm saying if it was a Jew who I had reason to believe might have stolen it,
so
presumably the Osir would be Misayeya.
Right.
I didn't enable him. Is it Misayeya or something else, which we'll see. But if it's a non-Jew, so according to Tosfos, it should be Mutter. It's not, according to the way the Gra understands it, or the Shach understands it, it's at best Misayeya. I didn't I didn't enable him to steal. I'm buying it afterwards. We're going to complicate it, but let's just leave that for a second. But the Rambam says you can't buy something from a thief because it's lifnei iver. What's the problem in all three Rambams? And the Achronim all pick up on this. What does the Rambam say in all three places? It's lifnei iver.
Right.
But is it what? Is it trei avrei nara according to Tosfos? No, it's not trei avrei nara. You bought it from him later. It wasn't like he stole it for you. This isn't you hired a thief to go steal something. You're not selling. You're buying from him later on.
Wait, but that's not what the Rambam just said.
Yes, yeah. Asur l'knot davar gazul min anigzal. I can't buy something stolen.
The first Rambam said asur l'machar.
No, now I'm on the third one, right?
Oh,
or okay, to sell weapons, If I'm selling weapons, does the Rambam say anything about whether the guy could have gotten weapons elsewhere?
No.
No. Does it say? Did the Rambam say he doesn't have weapons yet? No, he could have other weapons. Right? The Rambam...
It says you can't sharpen his swords.
Okay, but he could... Does it say he didn't have other swords?
I'm saying...
It
implies he has swords.
Correct! And it doesn't say that he doesn't have other sharp swords. The Rambam in at least 11 places, when he quotes it, Rabinovich has a nice list, notes that the Rambam seems not to hold of... Trei Avrei Nahara. No, he holds of Neiver. He doesn't seem to hold of Trei Avrei Nahara, meaning Tosos is qualification, meaning he doesn't
lift Neiver even if it's on the same side of the room.
Correct. But the Rambam is talking about cases where they don't need you, and the Rambam calls it every time. He calls it lifnei iver. All the Achronim struggle with this. All the Achronim say, now this is a classic methodological problem.
We didn't have a problem with lifnei iver. We had a problem with Misayeya.
Right, but he calls it lifnei iver.
So there's no Misayeya.
What Tosfos calls Misayeya, the Rambam calls lifnei iver d'oraisa. Meaning he says d'oraisa. So now here's the question that all the Achronim deal with. All the Achronim are bothered. And this is a classic problem sometimes in Achronim. Because what do the Achronim do? Does the Gemara ever say... Tosfos understands Trei Avrei Nahara as meaning that you don't violate Lifnei Iver. It means to unless you enable someone. They couldn't have done it without you. The Rambam in 11 places doesn't believe this.
Even if he could get it without you.
Correct. He doesn't believe this. He tells you explicitly. It's Lifnei Iver. So the other Achronim, their problem is as follows. We paskin like Tosfos. Or seem to. The classic post can paskin like Tosfos. So what do? Then they backtrack and they say, oh, the Rambam doesn't say it. But it's true. It's in the Gemara. So what's the methodological problem?
If he doesn't say it, then how do you know that it's in...
Or in other words, the only reason that they have a problem with the Rambam is they assume he reads the Gemara the way Tosfos does. So they say, oh, Tosfos said you don't violate lifnei iver unless you enabled. But if you could do it without them, it's not lifnei iver. The Rambam, how can he contradict the Gemara? But he never contradicted the Gemara. What did he do? He contradicted Tosfos. So all the Achronim try to give all types of answers, which are some are more compelling, some are less. But Rabbi Rabinovich? Max, come on. Do you know who Rabbi Rabinovich is?
No.
Rabinovich is the elder statesman of the religious Zionists in this world right now. He's 89, 90. He's the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivat Birkat Moshe, or colloquially known as Ma'ale Adumim, the Yeshiva in Ma'ale Adumim, Very, very, very smart person, to put it mildly. When he was a rabbi in Toronto, he also did his PhD at U of T on probability in the Talmud. So he has a PhD in theoretical mathematics, or applied mathematics, something. A very, very smart person. But he has an obsession with the Rambam. He's written a perush on the Rambam, and many svarim on the Rambam. That he notes that the Achronim seem to be off base. That the Achronim are all trying to figure out how could it be that we'll defend the Rambam if you read the Gemara like Tosfos, because they all assume the Gemara says like Tosfos, but methodologically, what's the simplest way of explaining why the Rambam doesn't how the Rambam doesn't go against the Gemara.
He doesn't follow the
Adrian. He has to hold the Trey Avri Nahara. The Gemara says it.
So far he hasn't explained it.
Yeah, exactly. Who says that Tosvos is right? Right, we're all assuming, right, all the Achronim are assuming that the words Trey Avri Nahara mean what Tosvos say they mean. And then they say, Oy vey, the Rambam in 11 places doesn't hold of what Tosvos holds. The simplest methodological way of explaining it is... Yeah, the Rambam doesn't hold of Trey Avri Nahara the way... The Tosvos did. So let's... What time is it? Let's try this. Okay? So he says, then what does the Rambam say? What evidence, right? Now you could just say, oh, the Rambam holds that it means something else, but what does it mean? Right? What does it mean? So you could guess, right? But here's a key. I think you just took my source. Also? Yeah.
Yeah,
so the, no problem. In general, no, that's from an old one. The Rambam in general follows... Who's the Rambam's Rebbe? Remember I told you this. Rambam's father is Maimon, whose Rebbe is the Rimi Gash, Yosef ibn Megaz, right? Whose Rebbe is the Rif, right? It was called Fasi. And in general, the Rif and the Rambam and this school of thought, they're heavily influenced by the Gaonim. Right, by the Gaonim. The Gaonim, like the formal Gaonim. The Gaonim, yeah, you can fold it. Who are the Gaonim? Okay, who are the Gaonim?
The rabbis in Bavel.
In Bavel, good. Right? They are the rabbis post-Talmud in Bavel, who formally... They're the Rosh Yeshiva. They are the Rosh Yeshiva of the Yeshivot of the Gemara.
They're the closest to the Beit Midrash after the Rishonim?
No. The Gaonim are between the Gemara and the Rishonim. Right? But they are the classic Gaonim, like the Gaonate meant that they were actually the Rosh Yeshiva of Surim Pumbedisa. They were political leaders in Bavel. Right? So that's Kufan. Rabbi Hananel is like... channels that Misora, right? Channels Misora of this period of the Gonim is often a good place to go if you want to understand the Rif or the Rambam, because it channels the Misora of the Gonim. So, if you look at Rabbeinu Hananel,
yep.
See, Rabbeinu Hananel is the tiny little print on the side of your Gemara. Everyone have a Gemara? Please, everyone have a Gemara? Vav? Yeah. Second.
Amid what? Amid what?
Yeah, so 1, 2. Okay, in mine it's 5 lines from the bottom of Vav Amid Aleph, but I don't know where it is in yours. From Ibailu. You see Ibailu? Yeah. You got it?
Right there?
Yeah. Ibailu, exactly. Right, you got it? Ibailu? Yeah, Ibayalahu, there we go. Okay, Ibayalahu. Right, so this is the Gemara's question, remember. Isura de mehav umishkal bahadei. Right, so the prohibition, the mehav is to give, umishkal is to take, meaning the prohibition of business with non-Jews. Mishum de lo tarviach le. Is it because of, right, remember what the Gemara called harvacha. Right, you don't want to cause him profit. The af al gavd is le behema lidide, even if he has another animal. Kaven dimosaft le, since you added to him, umarvachat le, and you made him profit, asur. Okay, that's how he understands the words harvacha.
So it's lifnei iver.
No, not lifnei iver. Remember, the Gemara said, is it harvacha or lifnei iver? Right? So he translates harvacha, right? Since you added to it. Right, so now it's a problem. Now we'll come back to the fact that he seems to not hold like Rashi.
Harvacha, that kind of
okay,
like,
yes, with, correct. But let's hold off Harvacha for a minute. He says, "This is Rabbeinu Hananel." Say last line: O Dilma Mishum Velifnei Iver Lo Sitein Michshal. Or is it because of Lifnei Iver? Ve'ukimna. What's Ukimna?
Wait, where? Did we just go
into
the Gemara?
No, we're starting Rabbeinu Hananel. We turn the page. Ve'ukimna, or at least mine, I did. Ve'ukimna.
I'm confused.
Right? V'ukimna.
Where?
Right? And we establish it as. Right? Right? V'ukimna. Right? Here. Right here. Right? It's small.
Just mark it down.
V'ukimna we established. Right? The Gemara had said, what's the difference between Harvach and Lifnei Iver? The Gemara said? Trey Avrei. Nahara. So he says, V'ukimna kagon. Shahanar mafsik b'neihem. So we establish it in a case where the river is between them. And then he says, ve'eno yachol lichfoto v'lito mimeno ba'al karcho hu de'over. And he can't force him and take it against his will that you violate.
Wait, who can't force him?
Oh, good. So this is what Rabinovich says. Wait a second. Here is Rabbeinu Chananel trying to define the words of Tre Avrei Nahara. And what does he not say?
Who for it, like?
Right, what does he not, right? Tre Avrei Nahara means what? For according to Tosos means that you were enabling him.
Right.
Okay. What does Rabbeinu Chananel say? What is the, why is Tre Avrei Nahara relevant for him? He says, what does it mean?
It's forcing him to think. No.
You can't force him. Can't,
right.
Meaning?
You're far away, you're too far.
Correct, correct. Rabbeinu Chananel understands the words Tre Avrei Nahara is meaning. Because you're on two sides of the river, he can't force you. Right? But if you were on one side of the river and he could force you, so then you wouldn't violate Lifnei Iver. But therefore, how does he understand the words Tre Avrei Nahara?
Yeah, but is he...
What is, how does he understand Tre Avrei Nahara?
You're doing the action. It's nowhere... it's not... He doesn't do anything to you.
You're enabling
all your action.
Exactly. He says... Rabbeinu Chananel says, what does the word Tre Avrei Nahara mean? It doesn't mean, was it possible without you? If it's possible without you, what does the Rambam call it? No. Well, if, even if the sin is possible without you, what does the Rambam call it? We saw it in 11 places. Lifnei Iver Daraisa. So why? So when does the Rambam say it's not Lifnei Iver Daraisa? Not if you couldn't have done it without you.
If he could
have forced you, then you have a ptur.
If he's forcing you, then it's not Lifnei Iver Daraisa.
No. If he's not forcing you, you do violate.
Oh, so
right.
The only case,
so what's the Rambam saying?
Why does he need to tell us that?
Wait one second. What is the Rambam?
The Rambam saying the only case you're not over with the Hebrew derisa is when you're being forced.
Correct. And therefore, the Rambam doesn't say Chad Iver Dinar or Tre Avrei Dinara. The difference isn't could he have done it without you or not.
Right.
It's could he coerce you or not. Meaning, if he can force you to help him so you don't violate Lifnei Iver. If he can't force you, then you do. But what happens if he can't force you? But he could have done it without you. So according to Tosvos, not Lifnei Iver, but according to the Rambam, according to Rabbeinu Chananel, is that called Lifnei Iver? Yes! Right? He says the reason one side of the river and two sides of the river are relevant is whether or not the guy could hold your hand behind your back and force you because he's next to you. Or let's put it differently. What's the difference? According to Tosvos, right, Tre Avrei Nahara, according to Tosfos, Tre Avrei Nahara, what's the focus? What's on the other side of the river?
It's not about you. It's the actual person.
The tree food. Right? The guy can't get it because he's far away from the food. According to the Rambam.
You have food in your hand and the guy has a gun to your head saying, give me the
exactly. Well, not necessarily a gun, right? That would be hard. That would be Yavrava Yaharik. Fine. But he's saying, yeah, according to the Rambam, it's not the food that's on the other side of the river. What's relevant? You're on the other side of the river, so we can't force you. The axis of Chad Avrei and Tre Avrei Nahara is not possible without you, not possible without you, is he able to coerce you? So Rabinovich said the smoothest way of explaining the Rambam is not, don't come up with any diukim. Right? It's very simple. The Gemara never said that Tre Avrei Nahara means
that it's for you.
That it's, was it possible without you or not? It's whether he could force you or not. But if that's the case, then what happens if he's not forcing you? But he could do this sin without you, according to the Rambam.
You're the favorite.
It's Livnever Doraiso, because you understand the Sugil of Rabbeinu Chananel. So therefore, Rabbeinovich says, what is this Kasha? Why are you giving me a headache and saying, oh, the Rambam doesn't hold like the Gemara? Yes, he does. He doesn't hold like Tosfos. Big deal. Of course he doesn't. He always holds like Rabbeinu Chananel. Not always. He usually holds like Rabbeinu Chananel, the Gaonim. Rabbeinu Chananel tells you that their Misora of the words, Chad Tre Avrei Nahara has nothing to do with has nothing to do with possibility. Has to do with coercion, right? Again, who is?
It sounds like everyone
can he force you?
Kind of sounds like everyone's on the same page a little bit. The Tosfos says that you're chayav lifnei iver on the even if you're on the same side of the river.
No, you're not. Tosfos says. Tosa says, midaraisa, if you're on the same side of the river, it's mutter. Midarabanan, it might be usur. Right?
For
Misayaya, however you define it. According to the Rambam, no. It's daraisa. The words...
Right, if he can't... For, if he's
correct. And therefore, that's what Rabinovich points out, is that the Rambam, you're midaraisa in the Rambam, yeah, you don't hold
it's
it.
A different understanding.
Yeah, he just says methodologically. He said, "Why are you trying to figure out how you can be miyashiv the Rambam with Tosfos, as if the Gemara said what Tosfos said? It didn't say what Tosfos said. The Gemara said chad avre na retrei avre na harav. And Rabbi Chananel tells you the difference between one side of the river isn't the tray food? Is it on the wrong side of the river? Is the guy there to force you or not? Are you under coercion? If you're being coerced, it's not lifnever. If you're not being coerced, then even if he could do this in without you."
Is this connecting back to the three sins that you should not, the three things?
So if we'd have to get into that, right? If this is Avodah Zarah. By the way, okay, just one last thing here, and then tomorrow we'll try to flesh it out. Well, actually, no. This is what I want you to think about for tomorrow. So let's say we've defended the Rambam textually, and I want you to go over it and make sure you understand this textual thing. It's only a few lines, Rambam Chananel. Here's the question. Conceptually, why would you define chad? Right, we've done it textually, but conceptually, why would you define chad ever dinahar or trey avre dinahara the way Tosfos does or the way the Rambam does? Right, what is behind that machlokas? Right, why would you read? Right, why would you say that the axis is? Are you enabling or not enabling? Or are you being coerced or not coerced? Right? What would drive those two different things? So tomorrow, make sure, read the Rambams through again and Rabbi Chananel and understand where it comes from, and then try to understand conceptually why you would say that.
Rabbi, I have a question.
Rabbi.